What's Cooking? Supported by Auckland art gallery Toyo Tamaki. Become a member today for great art benefits.
Okay, let's check. We've got Hamish Pinkham from Rhythm and Vines on the line. Are you there, mate?
Yeah, check. Still here, guys.
What's your handle? Rhythm and Vines Big Boss, Hamish? Is that?
That's me, yeah.
Sweet.
Bossing around, that's for sure. Wait, bit of a waiting game at the moment.
True.
Have you sort of breathed the...
That 90% thing is pretty good, though. That sounds like something you can kind of, like, put caution to the wind a bit, no?
It's pretty high for Gisborne. We've got a lot of work to do down there, but taking week by week, really. I mean, they're going to reassess things at the end of the month, so I guess we'll be a better place to know if mass events can happen in the region. So we'll keep waiting.
We are sort of creeping up there, and it feels like the mood of the country is... We kind of deserve a bit of a summer holiday.
Pandemics don't care about that, John.
I feel like the government's going to listen. And I think we're going to get there as a country, so we can only be optimistic about it, right?
I love how it's not about the pandemic. It's about the government. Slowly, just like, everyone's like, being pretty, like, be nice. And now it's like, fucking summer. You know?
But Hamish from Rhythm and Vines, you guys are kind of the big fish when it comes to festivals in this sort of corner of the world at this time of the year. A massive one that it's almost like a rite of passage that everyone should be looking, you know, like if you haven't been before, should be looking forward to going at some point in the next wee while. Has it, just holistically as a journey, what's it been like for you? Because you guys are creeping right up there. Have there been about 18 or 19 Rhythm and Vines so far?
Yeah, heading into our 19th year, so the big one next year. But yeah, it's been a hell of a career, hell of a journey. I was obviously there at the start and been through some different cycles with the festival, different music styles, and different, you know, a lot of Kiwis have come through that that part of the country over New Year's. So it's definitely keeps me young, keeps me away from a real job, and I'm still loving it. So really, really blessed to be able to put on something that's quite uniquely Kiwi and quite world class now. The level that the festival's operating is something that we're really proud of. So
when you say a couple of different cycles, what do you mean by different cycles?
We've had our ups and downs. I mean, we started as a one-day reggae festival, really, back in the early to mid 2000s.
Yes.
And it was the days, you know, on the tail end of the gathering, you know, that the Wellington roots scene was bubbling away. We had festivals like Soundsplash and Kura Roots in our space. And, yeah, looking back to a one-day, you know, party with the likes of the Black Seeds, you know, Salmonella Dub, Concord Dawn, it certainly morphed into something quite different from that. So yeah, I think about cycles. I think about the first 5 years was like that one day model, and we soon realised everyone was in Gisborne for a number of days. Why don't we just open the gates earlier and get everyone on site for a multi-day camping festival? And that came with its challenges, trying to learn how to run a big event like that, the camping, the international artists flying in and out, additional security, the strain it put on Gisborne over that period. And yeah, we certainly had some tough years just trying to rebuild the model into a sustainable business. But after our 10-year anniversary, we kind of hit our straps again. We had our friend B-Dub Campgrounds down the road, which provided a bit of colour and entertainment to the whole week.
Is that still going? There's a bit of a riot at some point. But so, do people still camp off-site in high houses and that sort of jazz, or is everyone mostly camping when they go down?
Yeah, so that was kind of the end of that cycle when B-Dub Campgrounds came to an end. But it was a separately managed accommodation festival, 15 minutes from the venue. So it was under different management and had a different kind of culture down there, almost that kind of schoolies culture where people would sit around with their chili bins and
you know,
enjoy
a few
the beach,
bears, yeah.
beach culture. And that provided, a different atmosphere as they rolled into the gates at Waiheke. So authorities kind of came to a bit of a head with the behaviour and the culture down there, and that ended probably 5 or 6 years ago now, which was certainly a colourful part of our history, and I know people have got fond memories of that festival. But now we host everyone under one roof, so 15,000 of the campers are all at Waiheke, so we've extended into the different vineyards and fields nearby. and people get to experience that camping festival, which entails, you know, liquor under our license, kind of more yes. beer garden culture, you know, food trucks, and people enjoying rolling out of their tent and rolling straight to the stage, which is what international festivals are really based on.
Awesome.
And then, yeah, the other 5,000 or so attendees stay in Gisborne. There's a number of hotel motel packages, or, you know, hiring houses at the beach. And so it's, yeah, become that more, you know, one that more central European style festival under one roof, which suits the authorities and suits everyone, having everyone contained.
Right.
Well, you sent us some tracks in kind of a chronological order, so should we go back in time a little bit and kick off? What do you reckon?
Yeah, let's start at the start.
Right on. We've got the Black Seeds here with Fire, absolute classic, and A Beautiful Day for it, so...
Fire burning in your eyes.
The Black Seeds with Fire, as selected by Hamish Pinkham from Rhythm and Vines. Now, the Black Seeds have actually got some new music out, which probably means they're going to be hitting the road over summer. How far away are we from seeing a Rhythm and Vines lineup for this year, Hamish?
Yeah, good question. Ironically, we're about to drop it the day after Auckland went into lockdown. So I'm kind of glad we didn't, because there's been a number of changes since then, with some acts having to withdraw and we're adding some different acts, and it's certainly morphed into a new vision this year. But no, I think we got some good news yesterday that the government are going to underwrite the festival, and we can kind of trade these next few weeks. And I think towards the end of next week, you'll see some excitement from our end. We'll go out with our plan. We've secured some MIQ spots for a handful of artists, and we've got the best of the Kiwi artists and a lot of up-and-comers. So looking forward to getting the cat out of the bag and getting on with it, because it's I know people are waiting around to know what they're getting for summer.
How does that process typically work? Do you have people in Australia who are having similar conversations with artists so they can sort of make it work and come down and do a bit of a run?
The MIQ bit is the gnarly bit, man.
Yeah, traditionally that's right. There's a bit of a circuit. There's kind of us in Perth. There's, you know, Falls Festival in Melbourne. There's Field Days in Sydney. So we're all in cahoots during the year. We probably start in about February, March, just putting ideas on the table. Everyone's got different visions for their festival, but you kind of start to build a bit of a run. And then New Zealand's normally the first stop, you know, 29, 30 of December, and then they head on to Aussie. But yeah, in this COVID environment, it's a whole different kettle of fish. So what we're doing now is bringing in, you know, bankable artists, a lot of that bass music that's popular, a couple of hip-hop acts. They do the quarantine, which is not an easy ask for some artists to do, you know, up to 2 weeks. They need a, you know, they need a decent paycheck when they pop out as well. So the Australian thing, we had a handful of great Aussie acts that we've had to just put on hold because of the bubble. As you can understand, a lot of those guys don't want to do 2 weeks.
Is there still a bubble with Perth at the moment? Can they fly in? Are there any parts of Australia that people can fly in?
Perth is one big bubble by itself, 100%, just out there alone.
Yeah, not that I'm aware of. We bypassed that a few months ago when things were looking dire. But, you know, we'll bounce back. I think next year is our 20-year anniversary, and I think if the borders are open and people are travelling again between countries, I think we'll definitely invite some leading guests down to help, you know, celebrate our big birthday and get back to where we want the festival to be, which is an international show right here in New Zealand.
I guess the last year was a really good opportunity to champion some good old classic Kiwi talent.
Yeah, it was, and also bring some heroes back. I mean, we had the likes of Fat Freddy's Shapeshifter, who had, you know, had a number of years off the festival. But, you know, acts, you know, I think of my favourite acts of the recent years, the likes of the Benny, Montel, you know, Saatchi, Lee Matthews. I mean, these are all acts that are, you know, genuine headliners in this market now. And it's great to bring that new breed through. And, you know, Jess B, you know, there's a whole lot of drum and bass acts coming through, you know, led by the State of Mind and the Upbeats guys. And, you know, we do try and push the live, you know, indie angle as well, but we've got the Garden Stage that's hosted, you know, some fantastic acts. So what we have found, though, it's we try not to be too much of a taste-making festival. People are there to have a good time. I mean, they want to discover new music, but they're not there to shoegaze or chin stroke. They're there to have fun with their friends. So the music direction really tries to, you know, amplify that, and it's really been a, you know, hip hop, dance music, bass music. Bands.
You've obviously got your finger on the pulse with bass music and drum and bass coming back around. That's had a kind of somewhat of a renaissance in New Zealand. I mean, New Zealand has got such a strong connection to that culture anyway, but it feels like it really has come back on the boil in the last couple of years.
It's amazing how far it's come since, you know, we helped, help build the scene, bringing the likes of the Hospital Records, you know, the early shows for Netsky and Wilkinson, who are now kind of homegrown names, and everyone's played their part. I mean, people like Jay Bulletproof are doing a great history of the scene now, and there's stuff that I'm still learning that came before us. And but, you know, Rhythm and Vines has played a part in building that culture too, and we've you know, bought some great UK artists and European artists over in recent years, and the Chase and Statuses and the Frictions, and now they're popping up all over the country at different festivals. Mm-hmm. So who knows, it might not last forever, but it's certainly the music of now for a lot of New Zealand youth, and yeah, people just seem to froth in it.
Totally. Now, I've got one lined up from Fat Freddy's Drop here. Obviously, a massive New Zealand staple. Do you have any favourite performances from them at RMV?
Yeah, well, ironically, the third year we booked them, they were just an established band, but they hadn't released their debut album based on a true story, and we booked them earlier in the year. And by the I went overseas for a bit of an OE, and by the time I came back, they were the darlings of the music scene.
Yeah, well, they were everywhere, weren't they?
They were one, and we had them booked for New Year's Eve, which was a bit of a coup. So that performance, as Rhythm and Vines kind of blew up, really, was probably one of the great highlights. Wandering Eye, and you know, had Holly Smith up there and Devon Mahal performing, and it was a real time and a place, 2005. So yeah, we finally got them back last year for the first time in that number of years. So no, great New Zealand success story and great band, and yeah, hopefully we can keep working with them going forward.
Mean.
Yep.
Fight the fight, and all my people may not be.
Fat Freddy's Drop. The Raft is selected by Hamish Pinkham and Rhythm and Vines.
Big Boss O, Rhythm and Vines.
Now, are there any sort of changes to the actual festival site or anything like that that might be in store this year for like regular attendees who make the pilgrimage down to Gizzy?
Yeah, I think one thing that's been successful, sorry, my dog's just panting away here, has been the VIP area the last few years, the Vintage Club. Those who haven't been for the last few years, we put it next to the main stage. So it's almost like that backstage area where you can kind of get easy access in and out. There's day beds, there's champagne, you know, a few cheap celebrities floating around and a few artists. And that's been a really big hit. And Vintage sells out.
Cheap celebrities is a really good term.
Who would I see if I was like in the cheap celebrity area?
Cheap celebrities. Clark Gayford, probably, definitely a Clark Gayford cruising around.
A few familiar faces. Now, Israel Adesanya was there with a
I'm not going to call him a cheap celebrity. No. You can say that to him. I'll say
that. Well, even I got bounced there. A couple of big
What? Tell that story, please. Whatever.
Well, he was, you know, everyone was wanting a photo with him, and you know, I went up. I'd met him previously and introduced or welcomed his family to the venue, but he obviously didn't recognise me, or his security didn't anyway. And next thing you know, got a stiff arm to the face just to step aside. But
Because everyone will be trying to fight him all the time.
Yeah. the Waikato Chiefs boys are great supporters of the festival, and hasn't really reflected in their on-field performance the last few years, but they they give it a good nudge. Yeah. Shout out to Anton Leonard Brown and Brad Weber and Damian McKenzie and the lads. But
workout party hard, eh?
Yeah. But no, I mean, the good thing about R&B, it's a good leveler as well. Like, no one is there ordering, you know, table service, and you know, apart from your Israel Adesanya's, everyone's there on the same level and up for a chat and up for a hang. So
we've met him. He's actually a good dude, but it's, you know, he probably just saw you as a threat.
Hamish, have you managed to meet any idols of yours at the festival? Has there been anyone that has played that you've been like, oh my god, finally I get to meet this person?
Oh, Zane Lowe was quite a hero.
Yes.
Of mine, and a lot of broadcasters like yourself and musicians coming through the industry in the early 2000s, and what he's achieved as a Kiwi internationally is you know, is heroic. And you know, inviting him down to DJ at the festival for a few years was great to meet him and hold him in high regard. But yeah, I mean, the best, we've had a couple of those big hip-hop superstars. We had Pharrell Williams arrive with NMD 1 year, and that was next level, next level kind of celebrity and security, I guess. Chance the Rapper was another.
You've had some massive hip-hop names play at the festival, which is, you know, astounding. Yeah. I don't know whether you're catching them on the way up, but, you know, they're massive nowadays.
It was probably the trend of about 5 or 6 years ago. A lot of mumble rappers, a lot of, you know, that kind of Vince Staples stuff. We had, you know, Chance the Rapper was probably the hottest ticket in the world at the time. He'd just performed at the White House for Obama. He'd played Lollapalooza and Austin City Limits, and we had him in little old New Zealand. And his level of hospitality was something our team had never seen before. You know, private jets. You know, we had to shut off the house and the backstage area for him and his entourage and his groupies, and that was a real eye-opening experience. So,
what sort of food and drink was on the rider?
Well, funnily enough, he had to have a fresh cheeseburger in his dressing room.
In Gisborne, is there even a McDonald's out there? There must be.
Yeah. Shit. It's 15 minutes from the venue, so someone of our team had to go pick it up.
Fresh via the microwave.
No condiments, sitting in his dressing room before we went on stage, and sure enough, it wasn't touched, you know, when we went back.
It wasn't fresh enough. Damn it. He should have bought a cheeseburger but then surrounded it in other cheeseburgers and then used the cheeseburger that was surrounded by the other cheeseburgers. That would have been okay.
A pyramid of cheeseburgers.
It's a cheeseburger protection technique.
Now, we've got a tune lined up from an artist called Milo. This was a massive song a few years ago. Tell us about Milo.
Milo was a kind of university hero for me and my friends, actually, down in Dunedin.
Yep.
And that album came out. We used to go to Bath Street down there And then he ended up touring in New Zealand. He ended up playing Bath Street. And yeah, just a seminal album for our youth. And yeah, it was almost a bit of bravado, a bit of a dare from the boys mm-hmm. to try and book him. And it was our first international act, and lovely guy from Scotland who had a, you know, one hit wonder really. He hasn't really achieved much since, but still album is timeless and still a great D floor banger. So here it is.
Sure.
How I say, hey, what's up? Is this take two. Hey, what's up? This is the Stylebender, UFC middleweight champion, listening to BFM. Boom.
And you're back in the room.
You're listening to 95 BFM with Johnny Big Hungry and Hamish Binkham from Rhythm and Vines. We're chatting Rhythm and Vines, what might be in store for this year, and also taking a walk down memory lane where Hamish is reflecting on some of the great Rhythm and Vines moments.
It's like therapy, guys.
Yeah. Last time...
tell me more about your father.
Big Hungry and I went to Rhythm and Vines. We also went to outer space at the same time.
It's true.
True.
Obviously some epic moments, but being a festival director and or OG, you must have had some fantastic opportunities to travel overseas and check out other festivals. Has there been anything that's really stuck out as far as festivals, Hamish, that you've attended or checked out?
Yeah, I think Glastonbury has got obviously the granddaddy of them all. It's got a huge reputation, and that did blow me away. I mean, the scale of the place, it's I think 160, 180,000 people, and the energy in the air, it's quite electric. Saw the Rolling Stones, and it was a great one to tick off. I mean, everyone must get there one day, so one of my favourites. But yeah, I also really enjoy going to the US. It's a easier escape up there, and they do them really well. A little bit commercial, but they're clean, tidy. You know, they don't get too loose.
They're good
really
punters. Good. The Americans, they know how to. The thing is with the Americans, they know how to party, and they know how to like just keep it clean. There's no trouble if you go to a gig over there. It's just very good-hearted partying.
Yeah, reserved. There'll be no British flags flowing in your face or pints of beer spilt on you. But you know, Coachella, even you can walk right up to the front, and you know, if you want, everyone's so polite and so. American ones are great. And
how's the Kiwi crowd sort of morphed over the last 18-19 years of doing Rhythm and Vines?
Yeah, well, they're highly regarded by artists. I mean, we love our music. We're a boisterous bunch. We're probably not as unruly as the English, but we like to let our hair down, have some fun, and we start early. That's the other thing. The thing gets going, you know, at gates really 3-4 o'clock, so it's not like an ease into it. People are coming there, you know, with a head full of steam, but overall I think they do love a drink, they love a good time, but you know, they're well behaved in terms of aggression. And I mean, it's pretty sad what's happened at Travis Scott last week, and it's going to be a huge wake up for our industry, but you know, we can't let that culture kind of permeate in New Zealand, can we?
I feel like that story's still unfolding, because there's just so much little nuanced bits and pieces going on there. I feel like we haven't quite heard the full story, but I'm not sure. That's a buzzy one. I mean, obviously everyone's super pumped because they haven't been out in a long time, and that's translated into mob energy, which is terrible.
No, it's it's certainly something we can all learn from. So, but no, we're not there. People are there for a good time, and the crowd. Yeah, I mean, Rhythm Vine specifically is that younger audience that are on their university break, or their young professionals or young tradies that are, you know, want to let their hair down, meet some people and have some fun. So that's what we cater for, and I don't think that has changed over the years. It's still that audience, and I'm sure it'll continue.
Yeah.
Nice. Now we've got some Chasing Status lined up.
Blind Faith.
Yeah, Chasing Status. We're Kiwi kind of heroes. When we were kind of getting into that bass music scene, and we had them for our 10-year anniversary, and it was something that the crowds really enjoyed. We sold out the festival 2010, and they're kind of household names in New Zealand now, but probably one of the only drum and bass acts that's crossed over into the mainstream, along with the likes of the Pendulums, and still going strong. I think they're coming back this summer again in some form. So
we've had a theory. Someone's coming with a theory here. Kids that listen to drum and bass as babies are now old enough to listen to as young adults. So, good theory.
Jason Status with Blind Faith. Hamish Pinkham from Rhythm and Vines, guest leading the tunes this evening. Now, Hamish, we've got time for one more before we wrap things up. Was there anything else you wanted to chat about that might be on the cards for Rhythm and Vines this year before we depart?
No, I think I think everyone's worked so hard this year, done the mahi the last few months to save summer, and it's going to be so rewarding for those.
That's so heavy, to save summer. Yeah. Shit. It's true, though.
The timing couldn't have been better or couldn't have been worse to some extent, but, you know, we're coming to the end of the year, and I know a lot of people are just excited to catch up with friends again and let their hair down, and I think it's going to be one of the greats this year. I think, you know, whoever's performing and whoever's attending will be so grateful that, you know, we can gather, ideally, you know, safely and it might be under the vaccine mandate, but you know that's the way the world's going. So as long as we can gather safely and enjoy ourselves, then I think it'll be a real euphoric festival. So look forward to hosting everyone that's on their way down in the coming weeks. But let's keep up the mahi and yeah.
Cool to bro. Right on.
Yeah. Cheers.
Thanks so much, man. And you know, ka pai for having a mint festival for such a long time. It's really rad.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Very so curious to hear about next year. I mean, 20th anniversary, surely there's some plans afoot.
One
of the listeners has been in touch saying an idea might be to get one artist from each year of the festival back.
Oh yeah, definitely Milk Milk Lemonade. They could probably still swing it. All right, Hamish, we're going to go out and Chance the Rapper.
Sweet, Hundy. Sweet.
Cheers, brother.
Later, bro.
Thank you for having me. Cheers.
Big bro. Big fella.
Yep. If one more label try to stop me, it's gonna be some dreadhead niggas in your lobby. Never sweet out. My shooters come for free. So if one more label try to stop me, it's gonna be some dreadhead niggas in your lobby. You don't want no problem when no problem with me. You don't want no problem when no problem with me.
Yup.
Pull up in a new thing with my blue. You don't want no problem when no problem with me. You don't want no problem when no problem with me. You don't want no problem when no problem with me. You don't want no problem when no problem with me. You don't want no problem when no problem with me.
backup. Where the hell you get them from? Yeezy said he ain't made them. My nigga chasing bounty hunters and getting chased by the baby mothers. My first tat was on my stomach. Got a pocket full of money and a mind full of ideas. Some of the shit may sound weird. Inside of the Maybach look like it came out of IKEA. Run shit like diarrhea. Big yacht, no pie still. I cap. I'm high capping. I'm so high. Me and God dapping. This my blessing. This my passion. School of hard knocks. I took night classes.
Bigger than he boy, yeah. My deposits, they be on steroids. Lord, free the Carter, niggas need the Carter. Sacrificing everything, I feel like Jesus Carter. Hold up, I got it sewed up. My soda pulled up, my walls up. I'm flipping those bucks, they doing toe tucks. I roll up and let the smoke puff. I lay down toes up, hold up. Get too choked up when I think of old stuff. Move on, put my goons on, they kidnap newborns. In the streets, my face a coupon, her pussy too warm. All these bitches come to do harm, just bought a new charm. Fuck a watch, I buy your new arm, you lukewarm. I'm Uncle Luke with the hoes, pretty bitches centerfolds. Tippin' toes around my crib in they robes, just they robes. Half a million in the safe, another in the pillowcase. Codeine got me moving slower than a caterpillar race. Fuck wrong with you, what you was thinking, what you thought it was. I just pop out Percocets and only call the buzz. And if that label try to stop me, they gon' be some crazy Weezy fans waiting in the lobby. More like that.
You don't want no problem, want no problem with me. You don't want no problem, want no problem with me. Just another day, had to pick up all the mail. They gon' channel riding through the street, they be like they go.
What's Cooking, supported by Auckland art gallery Toyo Tamaki. Become a member today for great art benefits.